The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Or can you just greet somebody on your left and your right? Welcome them to a beautiful morning of learning the word of God. Welcome them to this beautiful morning. Say you will be blessed today. All right, let's open our Bibles quickly to the book of Psalms. We're going to declare from the book of Psalms this morning. The book of Psalms, Psalm 33. We always like to start by declaring the glory of the Lord. Psalm number 33. It's 22 verses and we're reading everything together. Now, if you know you are going to be blessed by it, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, certainly you will be. Today, the word of God is coming to you.
Amen.
It will enter your heart.
Amen.
It will bring the power of God.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
It's bringing into your life the power of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Now to start, let's read therefore from the book of Psalm number 33. We're reading everything. One, two, let's go. Now read like you're blessed, all right? One, two, let's go.
Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones.
Praise is becoming to the upright.
Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre.
Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Play skillfully with a shout of joy.
For the word of the Lord is upright.
And all his work is done in faithfulness.
He loves righteousness and justice.
The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord.
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made,
and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts.
He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap.
He lays up the deeps in storehouses.
Let all the earth fear the Lord.
Inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him.
For he spoke and it was done.
He commanded and it stood fast.
The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations.
He frustrates the plans of the peoples.
The counsel of the Lord stands forever.
The plans of his heart from generation to generation.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
The people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance.
He sees all the sons of men.
From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth.
He who fashions the hearts of them all.
He who understands all their works.
The king is not saved by a mighty army.
The warrior is not delivered by great strength.
A horse is a false hope for victory.
Nor does he deliver anyone by his great strength.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him,
on those who hope for his loving kindness.
To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine.
Our soul waits for the Lord.
He is our shield and our shield.
For our heart rejoices in him
because we trust in his holy name.
Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us
according as we have hoped in you.
Amen.
I feel like saying it again. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us.
Amen.
According as we have hoped in you.
Amen.
We receive from you the blessings prepared specially for us this morning.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our hearts are open to receive the word.
Amen.
Therefore, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is good. Please take your seat and let's get into the teaching. Today I want to share a word briefly. All right. So I'm thinking of which one do we read first. Okay, let's just open our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Now, please. Just a small recommendation. There is a series we taught here some years ago, which can be found on our website. So just go there, download the whole series. It's free. On the book of Ecclesiastes. So, but I'm not teaching on that at all. I just feel like recommending that message. Okay?
There's something Solomon said that I just want to use as a text to start my teaching for today. All right? I'll read from verse... what I want is down around 13 and 14, but I'm just looking for a place to start, please. Okay, I'll just start from the beginning, but I won't read everything. I'll jump here and there. From verse 1, Solomon said, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Now Solomon, we said then, was doing an experiment concerning the things that matter in life. But we're not going to the details concerning those things now, but I just want to bring out something he said when he was doing his experiment. He said, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was vanity. Then go down to the verse 8. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Verse 11. Then I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind. And there was no profit under the sun. Now let me now slow down here, verse 12. So I turned to wisdom, madness and folly. For what would a man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw, now please notice this. And I saw that wisdom excels fully, as light excels darkness. Let's go over that again. I saw, he said, that wisdom excels fully, as light excels darkness. And notice verse 14. Said, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Now, please, that's what why I read all of this. Solomon checked everything and said his conclusion and everything said both will still die. Alright? So I don't want to take us away from the thing I'm reading here. When he was reading this, he says, so both will still die though. What he was trying to say is that later we find at the very end that the important thing is the fear of God. Alright? But what I want to bring out is what he said about wisdom versus what? Folly. He said, I saw that wisdom excels fully as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Fact, he discovered. Wisdom excels what? Foolishness. Just like light and darkness. You can compare wisdom and foolishness the same way you compare light and darkness. Very important, okay? If you go and read them, of course, Solomon, again, compiled the sayings of his father in the first few chapters of Proverbs and wrote his own as God gave him wisdom in the rest of it. And he will let you know that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, what? Get wisdom. Now, the foundation for wisdom is what? The fear of God. And those are the two things I want to talk about this morning. The fact that wisdom is the principal thing. And the fact that the foundation for wisdom is what? The fear of God. Those two statements consume my message for this morning. Wisdom is the principal thing. And then number two, the foundation for wisdom is what? The fear of God. So let's start teaching. Where do I start from? I will tell a few stories. So with my sister yesterday, we were just discussing the house, my wife too, talking to her at night. And we're just analyzing how foolish human beings can be. You know, Mike Murdock used to say, he was quoting somewhere, so there are two statements by Solomon that may sound confusing. One of them is that don't answer a fool according to his folly. Another one is answer him according to his folly. Now, I can give interpretation to both of them, all right? And they are correct. But let me just take one. Sometimes when people are talking, you realize that you can't have conversations with them. I'll talk about what they mean by foolishness in a moment. And what my message really is how you can become wise. That should be the caption for today's message. How to become wise. First, in this life, you can't afford to be foolish. Solomon said, you don't have eyes in your head if you are foolish. That is, your eyes are not working. A wise man, he told us here, has his eyes in his head. That is, they are where they are supposed to be, and he can see ahead of him. There's a saying in English that a fool and his money is quickly separated. You know, when MMM came that time, that was my conversation yesterday. People got up and went and put their money. And I was wondering, are you stupid? I don't know whether you're getting my point. To me, it was a no, you know, Americans got no-brainer. That is not something you need to think about. This is something you don't do. I didn't need to, can I use the expression, pray. I believe in praying. But you know, there are things you don't pray about because God has already given you the wisdom. Why will I put my money in MMM? To me, it was fundamental wisdom. It wasn't a temptation. It wasn't something to resist. It wasn't something, Father, the name of God, I shall not fall. Fall for what? Remember, talking about wisdom again. When Ebola came to Nigeria, slept late that night. I used to sleep late those days. Wake up to work during the night. So a lot of times I sleep late into the morning. So I was still asleep when one of our brothers, not a regular here, okay? We have some, does some work for me and all of that, but he's a good Christian man. My phone rang early in the morning. So you know, you wonder, why is that guy calling me so early? Hello? He's, from my voice, he knew I was just waking up. So I said, sorry, sir, I'm sorry to bother you. But there's this gist flying around that to prevent Ebola, we knew Ebola was there then, that you need to have a bath with salt water. I just said, nonsense. And he said, thank you, sir. And I hung the phone and went back to sleep. It was when I woke up in the morning, I realized that the whole country had become marine. Salt water everywhere. Markets were emptied of their salt, you know, stock. Now, what happened to me was I was amazed that anybody took it seriously. It was a young student in Akure. I remember. The girl is a university student. She and her friends were playing. They just cracked a joke on Facebook or somewhere, or some social media. And like they say, it went viral. Later on, the girl said, it was a joke. You know, like, young, you know, you're just joking with somebody, but you place it on social media. And people will say, listen to this. They will say, it is better to be safe than to be sorry. And I said, no. You are being foolish. This is not about being safe or sorry. It's a clear sign you don't know. Now, you're not a wicked person. You're not going to hellfire. But you don't know what Ebola is. Let me talk about what wisdom, foolishness is. And when Solomon says somebody is wise, not what wisdom means, but when Solomon says somebody is wise. To be wise in the words of Solomon just means you are informed. You are aware of what is going on in your environment. That's what it means to be wise. To be foolish means to be unaware of what is going on, to have no understanding on certain issues. So everybody is foolish in an area. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, so don't take it personal. So you, let me use the words of Solomon. You're a fool in an area. That's just the way it is. For example, now, if most people don't know how to maintain their cars, so you need somebody to do it for you, all right? But it's a level of wisdom you must have. For example, at least know when the car needs maintenance. Like this morning now, I have to tell Udi to check my car because yesterday as I was driving home, one particular light on my dashboard came on and it was flashing. I won't tell you which light, so you won't be tempted to tell me what is wrong with it. Okay? So, I have a little bit of understanding. There was one I saw on something the car didn't work. And I remember that he removed my battery on Tuesday. So I just went, I unplugged the battery head, waited for some time, put it back in, just to allow the system to reset, and I was right. When I turned the car, the things started working, because these are computerized machines, so I think something was just off, so the car needed to be reset. So I just reset it by removing the battery head and put it back. Later on, something else came on, I said, no, this needs to be checked. Now, that is the level of wisdom required of me, by my own walk in life and my car, to know certain things, know how to read your dashboard. So if the car doesn't stop, they will not call the mechanic. The car has to grind to a halt. They will just try and start it too. And if it mistakenly starts, they keep driving. That is foolishness. All right? Just to emphasize that we're all fools in certain areas. But it should not be, when it comes to owning a car, there's a level of foolishness that's not allowed. You should know how to read your dashboard so you can call the person who will fix it. All right? So we're all fooled in certain areas. But generally in life, you should have enough wisdom to live life wisely. Let me just be like, I don't know how else to put it. Okay? Now, so when they talk about Ebola then, if you knew what Ebola was, you just know that that makes no sense. Bathing with salt water will do nothing. Okay, if you say immerse 24 hours a day in salt water, we may be tempted to say, okay, maybe this thing doesn't survive. But once you finish bathing, once you come out, it shows you didn't pay attention when you were in primary school. You didn't pay attention when you were in secondary school. I want to say common sense. Like one man was saying, he said, what they mean actually is uncommon sense. That most people don't even know what's supposed to be known by everybody. You know those who do internet fraud? You know what they call the people they catch? British man call it fishing. The fish they catch, what they call them, or pigs, what do they call them? Mugu. Before internet fraud started, mugu was a common word in Nigeria, which means a fool. So you're a mugu. It means you're a fool. Now, where am I going? They call those people muguls because we are defrauding you. You should have enough sense that this is fraud. How can I just say, send me, I want to send you $5 million, and you believe, I don't know you from Adam. And I tell you one story about it, you agree. And I say, okay, advance me $50,000 to be able to give you $5 million. Wouldn't common sense have told you that if money was available, I could go to a bank, borrow the $50,000, use it to release the five, even if I have to pay 100% interest? That is why they call the people that defraud mugus. A mugu is a pidgin English word in Nigeria, a Nigerian word for a fool. Many of us behave like, there are people who have been properly defrauded, and you feel sorry for them because they were doing legitimate business. But some of them, they defraud you, and you're like, you fell for this? You fell for this? You sat in your house, somebody who you don't know, say, wants to send you $1 million. The one they used to use, they say, you won lottery. You didn't ask, when did I play? They said they selected it from your email address. Why? Why would you just be picking people's email address and shipping them money? I'm sorry to say, a lot of us behave like fools. Some things we fall for, we shouldn't. Let me take a moment again aside. There's no free money, there's no quick money. Somebody can't tell you, stay in your house, give me your money, I'll just be returning interest to you, 10% every month. If it could work, you know human beings, they wouldn't tell you. They walk to a bank, sell their father's house, sell people's, do you get my point? Turn the 10%, do you know what 10% every month? It means at the end of a year, I've more than doubled your money. So if I could do that, why am I? They will not tell you that, these banks are cheating, they want to give it to you. The banks are not cheating. Do you follow my point? Come on, think about it. If you could do 10%, you should cheat the bank. Take their money and give them 20% in a whole year. While you make 120 for yourself. The truth that deep inside our hearts, we are wishing. If you're to counsel somebody, you know that doesn't make sense. I'm talking about what it means to be a fool. That not having eyes in your head. The fool and his money is quickly separated. What does it mean to be a fool? Not just understand some things in life. All of us are fools, like I said, in small areas. But there's a general knowledge we should all have in life. I give God the glory. I have never lost a cobble to all these schemes and scams. They come and say, come and give us, we'll double your money in 3 months. My mother, why should you double? How are you going to do it? My mother made a statement yesterday. Hiya. I never heard that it said like that before. He said, money that's not being traded, where is the profit coming from? It has to be somebody else's money. It was a proverb she gave. That's interpretation. I'd never heard it like that. He just laughed and said, you want to increase money, I should see how you are trading with it. He said, if it's not being traded with, it must be somebody else's money you are giving me. Basically, don't steal from somebody and give to me. I'm not interested. This should be common sense. To my amazement, it's not common. You know why it's not common? Because we love something more. Because life is a displacement issue. See, everything has space. It's what you occupy it with. Now, this wisdom we're talking about, if you love money, you won't have it.
The Bible says that a bribe makes a wise man foolish. 2 + 2 = 4. Give a man a bribe, he will convince himself it is 6. Give him more money, 2 + 2 = 22. So sometimes when we displace wisdom from our hearts, it is because we have loved something else. You start accepting, because, see, one thing God must do for you in life is to cure you of the love of money. You have to, that prayer, you have to pray it too. There was a time I saw Paul in Acts chapter 20. He was talking. He said, I have coveted nobody's goods. When I was living in Ephesus. You know what I did? I went and turned it to a prayer. I said, God, I'm like Paul, I'm a preacher too. I didn't just say, look, God, you know I don't covet anybody's goods. I don't even make such statements, really. I make it a prayer point. So I got on my knee literally and said, Lord, see this testimony of Paul. Can you make it my own? I want to teach the word. I want to minister to people and be able to say boldly at the end of it all that I have coveted nobody's goods. I want to be able to say, who did I use a prophecy to collect money from or something from? Like Samuel, I want to be able to say, all of you, if I ever took anything from you, say it now openly. When it was handing over to Saul, I turned it to a prayer point, oh, and I knelt down and said, God, please, can you do this for me? Why I pray like that is because it's not everybody that loves money or that's stealing money, that started out stealing. It's not. It's not everybody that's stealing money that started out stealing. Many of them, it's pressure. Sometimes people will just make you angry. Maybe you are the pastor of a church. You labor for people day and night. Every day they are bringing car for you to dedicate. Every day they are telling you, come and open house. They will tell you, please, we have just bought land. Come and pray over it. You are dedicating cars, dedicating houses, land. And you are sweating day and night. And schools, which month are we in? You know, very soon schools will start. You are the pastor of a church. And like they say, where you walk is where you are supposed to eat. Is that not what they say? And you now walk here day and night. That's when you realize all the scriptures. Because the scripture, scripture has said some things. That shall not muzzle the ox that. And if so, you just, next thing you know, you twist the word of God to collect your portion. It's all those pressures that make some people start twisting God's word. So that is why that thing is a prayer point. That is why it's not just a determination. It's a desire. I'm not saying determination shouldn't be there. I'm just saying that that is not the way you will get the power. You go to God in what? In prayer. What am I saying? So many times, it is those things that drive away wisdom from our eyes, from our hearts. Something that obviously shouldn't make money. You want to believe it. One day I was speaking with a very senior colleague, years ago. Before everybody knew that this scam, when people know about scams now, nobody didn't know much those days. Emails were not common. I mean, people had email addresses. So this my senior colleague got an email saying that she had won some money, some dollars. So when they had to pay $50 or something like that, or $100 to claim the money. This person is our teacher, our senior. So if it is sense, it gets well. She has in abundance. So now say, please, did you play a lottery? No. Did you contact these people first? No. You just sat in your house and you got a mail that you won money. I said, how is it possible? Do you know, there's no argument I didn't argue. It didn't go anywhere. She even recruited another colleague that let's split the risk and share the gains. I said, excuse me. It is not a risk. Risk is when there's really a potential gain. I said, this one, there is nothing. He said, no. You know, it was paining me because I knew where this was going. So finally, one day, one of her friends now came around. That was also a very senior colleague, a very senior person. So she came to her. I just said, good morning, ma'am. Please help me. He said, what? Please talk to your friend. That there's no money here. So that one, I said, what happened? When I explained, she burst into laughter. He said, don't mind them. It's a scam. We didn't know much about scams. It took the other person's voice to finally end. These people were going to transfer money. And they are not stupid people. These are very intelligent adults. Why?
the desire for that money to come in. That's why you have to pray. You know, I've been saying again and again, there's no quick money. Don't even want, see, we all know there's none, all right? But occasionally it can happen to you. Amen? Amen. But don't want, see, the way you said amen, don't say it again. If they pray that prayer, don't even answer.
Say, hey, today you shall have a breakthrough. The kind of money you've never seen before will come before tonight.
Because you join an early morning prayer meeting. Don't answer the pastor. Once he says it like that, say, God bless you, sir.
Somebody shout amen.
Say, me? If Pastor Panky helps me shout amen, he will ban me from coming here. Please. Oh. Well, I don't even want it. You hear some stories.
Ha! Your change is coming. Oh, somebody say, suddenly!
Just be looking at them and say, how much? From this my level in life, tomorrow I'll have $10 million. Is God planning to run me mental? Just ask them. Turn to the Lord, please. Can I beg you for something? Do not give me $10 million from when I had only 10,000. Your son will crazy. So. Say, you don't have faith. Say, yes, I don't have that kind of faith. It's in the scriptures. He said, give me food that is convenient for me. That's appropriate. Don't come and pretend. It's because of love of money. You think you can't handle it. Like I said last time, money will just wake you up in the morning. Say, are you still sleeping? You wake up, say, yes, sir. I say, get up. According to, where's Pastor Kim? There's no around. One day we're talking about some amounts of money. He said, if they give you that kind of money, he said he will call his father. I said, go to the house of the OVA. See, I said, may pack. Now, he was being honest that this is what that kind of money does. Now, for those who know what OVA is the traditional ruler of his hometown. That's the title they use there. That he will tell his father, go to the man, tell him to pack out of that palace, I'm coming. And I know a man that did it to an Igwe in Anambra State. Yes. He made so much money, he walked to the Igwe, said, I want to be the Igwe. And that one said to him, he laughed. I said, you have to wait till I die. He said, that can be arranged. Yeah, he told him, it can be arranged. His money, you don't understand. He gave the man a choice from what I heard. And the man actually packed, abdicated, he gave him a car, loaded the boot with money, and told the man to go. This really happened. It's a name I tell you, you will recognize. Where did they get the money from? They did one huge fraud. The money was so much, he was no longer in control. So I know what I'm saying. When I say, tell God, please, God, don't confuse me. Please. Father God, bless me in Jesus' name, but please don't bless me with a curse. When you see people going mad, you think they want to go mad? Let me not sit on that, but let me try and sit on the main thing I'm trying to say. In this life, you can't afford to be foolish. People go around preying on fools. Yeah. Like I say all the time, to train a doctor is hard labor. The guy will read physics, chemistry, biology, and other things, pass, jump, struggle, pass, you know, enter a university, 6 years, Nigeria's way. If it's American way, it's 8 years. 4 years of pre-med, 4 years of med school. After that, he goes into residency. Another 3 to 4 years, if it's America, of grinding. If it's Nigeria, we'll let you go and work for a year, we'll train you for another 5 years, finally we'll give you a certificate. They are not a specialist in this area. Just do that small calculation. Then finally, somebody like me will come and say, don't mind him, he doesn't know anything. And it's I have a reason for saying it. I see some people, specialists, I say, what's wrong with this guy? I better go and meet somebody that has something in his head. He's not a bad person, just that he doesn't have the experience. I told this story of one of my colleagues once, junior colleagues. His brother had a kidney stone. So he went to one surgeon who I know and I respect. He went to that guy. That guy said, I will do this. They were supposed to go for surgery. He took him, went to another one. So he's also a doctor, so he listened. I felt like, why, Kai? He wasn't willing to pay that money, and he wasn't willing for that. It was an extensive surgery. He just said, look, let's go to another person. He went to a senior one. That one looked at the film, looked at the investigation, looked at it, said, I will dissolve it with water. See what experience does? The other guy wasn't right. It wasn't wrong, sorry. It wasn't wrong. It's just that he didn't have the experience. The other one had the experience. He just looked at it, said, this one, we can dissolve it with water. So he gave the guy some diuretics so that the guy would be peeing all the time and gave him the amount of water he should drink in a day. In 1 month, the thing was gone. See, we're man, past man. Do you get my point? Now, what am I now saying? See, let's go to the younger one. With all the years of training, he was making a mistake. It wasn't a terrible mistake, but it was not necessary. Yes, somebody who has never been to medical school will sell you a drug and you will buy it. That's where I'm going. I'm talking about wisdom. It's just common sense you should have. That what training do you have? Why should you prescribe a drug for me? Those who've been trained for 15 years, I still can't trust them. Without asking their colleagues, then you will come and be giving me a sales speech. Please, if they give you a sales speech like that to sell cloth, buy. Yeah. If they use that sales speech to sell you shoes, buy. If they use it to sell you earring, buy. You know what's earring? Okay. Earrings, all right? Buy. But never anything you have to swallow. Because if it's closed, if you react to it, you remove it, throw it away. You've lost money. You've not lost any other thing. But anything you have to swallow, please make sure the person is skilled in that area. Well trained, and sometimes ask somebody else. You can't just be going around selling things and I will buy it and put it into my body. I read in Reader's Digest or Time, one of these big international magazines, of an American man, European man, sorry, who was well, nothing wrong with him, wanted to get fit, all this natural, please, God, I want to see some message, but please don't be carried away by fads. From my travel to America, the sister lives there, called me, said, Banky, said, my sister's children are not well nourished. They live in America, where food is cheap. I said, what's the problem? He said, because she's eating organic. Down the road, there's plenty of banana, fruits, everything of all kinds. But eggs there. They say, no, this one is not organically farmed. She will not travel, go and buy expensive food. For that reason, she can't eat enough. In a country where everybody is big because they have too much food, they didn't have enough to eat. My friend was saying that, but what's going on? That my sister will refuse to buy food because they are not organic. Let me tell you something. Don't worry your head about organic. I've heard this one, they say, GMO foods. GMO food is food. Eat it. I read this nonsense book. You know, sometimes people, one day, I have arguments with people. I say, listen, before you argue with me, know what I know. Let's sit down. What is wrong with GMO? If you cannot tell me the details of, don't just blanket everything. Do you know the cassava we have right now is a GMO? My father schooled where it was developed, IITA. He introduced it personally to a segment of today's Ekiti State. He was the one that introduced this current cassava you see everywhere to a particular segment of Ekiti State. I remember very well. Before that time, all the cassava we had were susceptible to what is called the cassava mosaic virus. It reduced yield by more than 50%. Compared to today's yield, maybe more than 70%. And some men sat down, did research one after the other. Finally, they produced a strain of cassava that's resistant to cassava mosaic virus. Suddenly, yield of cassava more than tripled. Yeah, you know, in Nigeria, we still don't have enough cassava. We eat everything. The industry doesn't have it. We've turned everything to garri. Organic garri. The one you have is genetically modified. So don't let anybody deceive you. You say GMO, GMO, GMO. One pastor actually said that if you take GMO food and take COVID vaccine, that is a communion blend. The bread is a GMO. The wine is a COVID vaccine. You turn to the Antichrist. The things you hear, you just see that. Like somebody said, are you spoofing me? Am I being punked here? And I thought we said this. That Bill Gates' son is the Antichrist. Poor Bill Gates. You see, let me tell you Bill Gates' problem. You want to hear? He's not the Antichrist. He has a problem every rich man has. He has to give out the money. He's giving out the way he knows. Because they've all realized you can't die with this money. If you do, you won't carry it anywhere. One of them, I can't remember which one, said, I can't leave my children with the disadvantage of being so rich. That was what he said. So he settled all of them, said he's not leaving anything for them. So all the children are multi-millionaires, he said, but carry this $100 billion and leave it for you. I can't. It's not good for you. Nobody left it for me. Go and build it if you think you can handle it. Yeah. If you think you can handle it, go and build it. So he said to everybody, say, I'm giving out everything. Warren Buffett said he and his wife agreed that they would give out all the money that they had. So when the woman died, he started giving out them. You know, they say, when you give out money, you'll be begging the money to finish. He will have easily been the richest man in the world today. But he has given out so much, he's still in the top 10. That is Bill Gates' problem. You have to wake up in the morning and have something to do with your life. There was a particular year, the poor guy. Can I use the word poor guy for him? Microsoft was paying dividends. They paid him $4 something billion in 1 year. That's for not going to work. Oh. They said, oh, guys, steal your portion of money. $4 something billion he did not need. The one he paid last year, he hasn't spent it. That is why he's not anti-Christ nothing. He's just a poor rich man. People say it's his son that is Antichrist. How do you know? Because his name is Will I Am, William. You know, Bill is short for William. So his name is William, Will I Am. So it means to follow the will of man. You know, like, he's like, excuse me, how did Will I Am? It's not Will I Am now, it's William. He's like telling me now, you can't. He said, look, the name is Bankole, so there's bank. It must be rich. It has nothing. You are using my name. Has nothing to do with bank. It's a Yoruba word that you have converted to your English language. Do you get my point? You cannot. You should ask me the meaning of the name. Don't break into pieces for me. Some would tell you it's bank only. It means he will steal from the bank. We now take two languages, mess them up thoroughly. Hey, you know something like this, isn't it? I like the way you are laughing because they're actually laughable. They're laughable. That's an aside, please. Let's get back to the main thing we're saying. All right? Please don't want quick money because it makes you foolish. You start making irrational decisions. I was just dropping many things along the line. An untrained person shouldn't sell you medicine or offer you medical advice. I need to add that one to it. They shouldn't offer you medical advice. See, it's happened to me. It doesn't mean anything. There are diseases. In fact, I remember in school, they taught us some of those things. I don't want to give names now. There's one particular disease they taught us in school. They said, a lot of diseases are like that. A lot. Okay? They said this. Now, many viral diseases disappear in 2 weeks. Okay? But this one has a habit of staying for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. It's on the skin. Lasts for a few months. So people tend to try all kinds of drugs and creams. So everybody has his own therapy. Do you know why? The one they were using when it cleared is a cure. Well, I think it was going to clear on its own. But they don't know. So what we're trained to do was to recognize it and tell the persons, don't worry about it. It's going to be here for some weeks, maybe a few months. But ultimately, it will clear without any leftover. This is Africa. They never believe you. As they leave the place next day, mirror. Is that what is doing you? Hey, hey, hey. It happened to my son last year. I took a wedu and I ground it with charcoal. Then I put it inside castor oil. They will now rub it on the body. Within 5 days, it was gone. She will forget to tell you that the week before that, she tried engine oil. It did not go. The one before that, she tried them, what they call it, abacha. Crushed it. With, you know, is it a chan leaf? What do you call that leaf? Mixed it. I did not go. And the thing had told itself, I'm leaving your son after 9 weeks. But it's in the 8th week, she discovered her new, and then she can't deny. Ah, that's her selling it. And these days of YouTube, do not do a YouTube video. There's a special cure for every skin disease that. Remember the story I told when I went to a barber's shop? And so one woman came with her son and had tinea carpitis, ringworm, all right, all over the head. Come and see advice. Please, Baba's job is to cut your hair. Doesn't know the skin problems in the scalp. It just to cut your hair. It can't even treat dandruff. I've seen them give treatment for dandruff. It's crap. I don't want to start teaching now, all right? That's what dandruff is. That's how they were talking. Ah, you will do this, you did do that one. After I couldn't take it anymore, I just called the woman to the side, madam, please come. This is what the problem is. I took a piece of paper, wrote a small prescription. Please, give this boy one tablet every day for this length of time. It will clear. And he's going to outgrow it anyway. I just explained it to her. And I said, madam, I'm a doctor here. Yeah? See, these people, they are barbers. Ha! And see, everybody's giving advice. I felt, you know, I had pity on the woman. They will just kill your son. Okay, I was telling you a story earlier about one man in America, in Europe. That's why I went and listened to a health advice online. Hey, let me go there again. Online is not the place you start learning things. You need expert knowledge to navigate that place. Everybody has a website. And Google does not know who is who. Google does not check their credentials. Just to help you understand part of the ways you navigate the internet. You have to learn what they call authority sites. It's what they call authority sites. Google tries to rank them heavy. Alright? Even though they don't have as much traffic, it tries to put them on top. They call them authority sites. Like now, for medical things, alright? There are sites that when you get there, you'll see professional, public. There's a way they give you, choose one. If you click on the professional one, the information they give you is different. Don't bother going there if you're not a doctor. You're going to get confused. They take the same information, bring it out to general knowledge. These are authority. They are run by professionals. Everybody writing there is a specialist in something. But let's just talk generally. Don't just go there and be picking everything everybody offers you. You don't know who is who. And internet is not the place you verify who is who. Because anything you write, nobody's verifying it. This man went online. They said to rejuvenate his body, tone up his metabolism. I believe that they sent these drugs he will buy. Now, no insult meant, in light of what we are preaching, the fool bought the medicines. When I say fool, you know what I mean by fool now? Yes. This same fool swallowed the medicines. And after a while, his eyes turned yellow. His liver was dead. After a while, he realized that his kidneys were not working. These so-called Chinese herbs killed both kidneys and the liver. At the time he was writing, he had had the liver transplant and was still waiting to get a kidney transplant. And he was writing that there was nothing wrong with me. They just said you should tone your metabolism. Another thing, please, I will get to my message. Let's just gist first. It has no meaning. What did I say?
It has no meaning.
You wake up in the morning, want to tone your metabolism. What does it mean? Fire up your system. Enter the fire. It doesn't mean, you know, people just get into, you know. Sorry. This world is full of lies. Deception is out there. There's a time they were selling alkaline water. They've stopped now. Have you now died? Again, I'm talking about fools. Okay, what is alkaline about water? Okay. One day, I saw one man of God. He was carrying a cup. I said, sir, what is it? He laughed. He said, when he puts the water inside, it will turn alkaline before he drinks it. So I said, sir, are you aware that your stomach will neutralize any alkaline thing you drink? It produces so much. No. If you put your hand inside a human being's stomach, it will burn. The acid is that intense. God had to design, if you study biology, you won't believe in evolution. God had to design it that when the acid is being produced, it shoots out in a particular way, sparing the top of the stomach. So when it comes out, it's on top of the mucus, keeping the stomach away. If you were to put your hand in that acid directly, it burns. The pH is extremely low. If you know what, you know, low pH is high acidity. So I said, if you drink alkaline water, okay, do you know what's going to happen? Nothing. And by the way, your lungs and your kidneys are designed to regulate the pH of your body in a very narrow range. Didn't they teach you in biology? So whether you drink alkaline water or acidic water, your body doesn't care. It will convert it to neutral water. Because whatever you drink, you must maintain your system. If your pH drops a little bit, you start breathing like this. You can't help it. It's automated. No, The body adjusts itself. And let me tell you something, you will not be known. Because of the lies, they lie. The earth also adjusts itself. It's a carbon dioxide. You can't clear carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. All things that they are saying is politics. It's not science. And so, I've left what I'm saying. I'm going to something else briefly, but I'll get back. I know where I was. I saw one American man asking some people who came to make campaign, we have to reduce the carbon dioxide level in the atmosphere. He asked them, what is the percentage of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere? Do you know what? All the campaigners did not know. And they were before American Congress testifying on the need to drop the level. He said, no, give me a guess. Just give me a guess. Is it 5%, 7%? They did not know. Instead, they had to give him a guess. Nobody knew. Maybe something like 4%, something like 3%, something like 8%. We were looking at all of them. So let me tell you, it is 0.04. And science has found that if it drops down to 0.02, plants start dying. And the ocean buffers it massively. Most of the carbon that is dissolved in the ocean. Let me not just get angry. So the man of God, I told him, sir, please. You know, he knew me, he was laughing. He said, it's even good I'm talking to you. He said, I'd like to listen to those who are supposed to know. I said, stop wasting your time. He said, thank you. And he dropped the whole arrangement. He said, I always reasoned like that. I didn't make sense to. It was a massive scam. And they were advertising. People were buying. I saw one man one day, I went to preach somewhere. He had a pendant on his neck. So I said, what is this? He said, I'm supposed to clear the air around. I said, sir, you are breathing from... I'm telling you. The pendant was hanging around here, lower than this, my microphone. I said, excuse me, sir, how will it clear the air you are breathing? I said, if you were in an enclosed environment and you have a humidifier or something that sucks the air, and then I said, I will understand. You are hanging this pendant on your neck. And he's a very intelligent man, senior to me. Just a few years ago. So I asked him a question. The air you are breathing, do you think it passes through here? He said, well, really, if you think about it, I said, you should have thought about it. Like, this doesn't... He said, what happens is that the stuff, it swells gradually over... You open it, you hang it. Then it swells gradually over the next few weeks to show you how much air it has cleaned. I didn't have to tell the man, sir, this is what they call being a fool. And I took time to explain to him, how do you think this is going to clear the air? You're not breathing. The air you are breathing is not passing through there. I gave him a small lecture on N95 and all of that. The mask you wear, I told him how it worked. There are different kinds of masks. Normal mask you wear, that common one, the paper cloth, just put, doesn't clean the air you breathe. It prevents you from polluting the air. No, the COVID period, it was not so that you won't catch COVID, it's so that you won't give somebody else. No, it wasn't hidden. You just didn't think about it. It's simple physics. If you cover your face, the gaps around is where your nose will take air from. It won't bother fighting to suck in through a tight space. There are gaps around, under your chin, beside your ear, everything. That's where all the air you are breathing is coming from. Why do we give it to you? So that when you sneeze or cough or breathe, the first your air goes there, it traps as much, not all, as much of the droplets as possible, preventing you from spreading disease, not from catching it. When we want to prevent you from catching it, we give you what they call N95. If you ever use an N95, you see it. It even has a small clip, pins your nose, it wraps, it traps everywhere around, creating a tight space around your face. So you are forced to breathe through the mask. And it's called 95 because it only takes 95% of the droplets. They know 5% will still make it through. And if we want you not to get anything, then you see them in movies. You see them, they wear something that goes through a pipe, goes through a carbon. There's this, what do you call this carbon thing anyway, that binds everything. So it filters almost everything. You can't just filter everything by just hang something on your face. Yet a human being hung something on his stomach and he says, purified brethren, just think small. Ego walk. I'm giving you stories of foolishness, which many of us have fallen for. People plan their lives. Have you ever seen a man wants to marry a woman? And you know this girl will destroy his life. That this girl will destroy his life. And you don't know how to tell him, please stop. Many times people wake up in the morning, they are making decisions. You say, this one, the people are packing their load. They say, they are going abroad. You say, you will come back poor. You know, you can tell them that, see, that you'll be poor is not even in doubt. I have talked to God. He said, this one is given to poverty. In quote, I'm just adding that last line to it. And you will try and talk. And you're wondering, why are you this foolish? I told you about the young man who wrote me that, please, I should help him with money. Why? He was a final year student in engineering. A door of opportunity came to disappear to North America. This is more than almost 20 years ago. And he wanted to take it. I said, I was about to say, are you a fool? No, you are a fool. To still be asking now shows even me I have a problem. If you had bothered to say, but wait, it's 1 year to get a degree in engineering. You will get to that same country and start at a different level. Are you aware of that? But it was so, if I go abroad, my life will change mentality, that I thought it was breakthrough. I see people, some of them relatives, withdraw children, final year students in law, pull them out of school because we are going abroad. And I'm looking like, why are you this foolish? People get up in the morning, carry money, invest, they say they are investing. And you are like, excuse me, do you realize you will lose all the money you have? Now, like I said, this is not my message. We're just gist. I never start the real thing. What is the real message? How not to be foolish, but to be wise. I just dropped all of these things. So let's know that foolishness is bad. That's what Solomon said. Foolishness and wisdom is like light against darkness. That the foolish man is walking. And by the way, I was talking about conversations. The average person on the road does not even know what's going on in the country. Let's talk about Nigeria for example. Government should do this, and you're looking like, I saw one preacher the other day on television telling me what government should do. The government should cultivate 1 million hectares of land. I said, sir, have you ever read the Nigerian constitution to know that federal government does not have 1 million hectares of land anywhere? Some people don't know. The land belongs to who? The states. The federal government just has small, small land around water, the coast, and the FCT is their own. Which is only their own as long as the FCT is there. We're just yesterday, Jonathan and Nanko, we're outside. That the law in Nigeria, if they give federal government something, when they stop using for that, they must return the land to the communities. People don't know, go and buy land that government is selling. Meanwhile, they collected it to build school years ago. They now collected, we have moved the school, they're now sharing the land, and you go and buy. Don't say Jonathan didn't warn you. Did you not warn them? He's warning the people now. I can attend the pastor, say, sir, don't embarrass yourself. The federal government doesn't have the kind of land you are saying they should cultivate in an emergency. They don't have it. I read one online. So, they're going to need crude. We should give him crude, which I also would have said. Except that somebody said that, look, where will we get it from? We have sold most of the ones we have. So we can increase production. Forget OPEC. We increase production to 3 million barrels a day. So I didn't know how to tell the person that. I hope you understand what you are saying requires an investment of $40 billion that will spread maybe over 5-10 years. You can't just get angry. It's not a tap. Just open a crew, just before you say, crew, increase the volume, yeah, add pressure. And this is the kind of arguments you hear online all the time. Most people talk like fools. The solutions they are prescribing for problems, it can't work. It's like people tell you, okay, nobody does that. Most people do that. How can I say there's no money? Are we not the ones printing the money? I hope you don't think like that. I hope there's nobody that foolish in this place. Please, if I'm just correcting you, just know your case needs extra anointing. If this statement I made is your first time of thinking otherwise, let's just say, because people don't know. Money is not that thing you printed. Money is the value it represents. Except you increase the value of goods and services in their environment. Printing more money is just stealing from those who have it already. That's what they call hidden tax. I need to add down that, please, we should also be informed about life. Americans said everybody must be educated. They made basic education free, compulsory. What is their reason? They say if you don't have it, you can't be governed. That uneducated people are not governable. They don't understand copyright. They don't understand that if I make something, you can't just copy it. According to one of my friends, he mentioned one country. I won't mention their name, but you can know who they are anyway. One big country, not Nigeria, not Africa. He said their own principle is that you make your own Fanta, I make my own Fanta. They don't know they can't just make another person's Fanta. Fanta belongs to somebody. The blend belongs to somebody. The name belongs to somebody. They get confused that when you tell them I can't make Fanta, I might stop me from making your own Fanta. So as far as they are concerned, everybody make your own Fanta. It's lack of education. It's lack of enlightenment. Please, I'm begging everybody, be enlightened. What did I say? What did I say?
Be enlightened.
Please read. We're not talking about having a degree in law, a degree in economics, and having a degree in engineering at the same time. It's not necessary. Stop sitting down. I don't care whether you're a woman or not, because a woman just is a woman thing. Everybody has his own flaws in life. So know where your flaws are and correct them. And that you're sitting, it's all Z word, morning till night. You become more foolish. See, unenlightened people make very stupid decisions. Yeah, that's true. You don't even know what's going on in life. Please, know. Every child should know basic accounting. Teach your children how to do small accounting. That is not every money they have they can spend. And explain the reason why. Parents, if you spend all the time watching Z word, they also learn it. And the men, top spend all the time, football, and Jackie Chan. Listen. Sit down and watch history. Watch documentaries. I hope I get my point. YouTube is there. Click on those who teach. A lot of things I talk about, you think I have time doing research these days? I have channels I follow. Look, once they drop one major economic thing happens in the world, I know Patrick Boyle will teach me. I click on it. It's 30 minutes. Very funny guy. At the end of the day, I've learned it. That's all. 30 minutes. I've learned it. What's going to happen to Google after the ruling that they are a monopoly? I watch one or two videos on it. I've learned it. I just scan 2-3 videos. I watch it. And I know, okay. So this is the thing that might happen to Google. Fine. But how will they affect Facebook, Microsoft? They are not the only ones that are that big. Then you know. I hope you're getting my point. It doesn't cost too much time. God has given you your device. What are you doing with it? You are there. La Liga, you must be there. UEFA Finals, you are there. At the end of the day, the only place you can contribute anything in this life is how much Ronaldo was transferred for. Please, I will get to my message in a moment. I've not started, but let's continue our gist. And if you're a man, please. Being a leader in the house is not muscle. Go to the gym, carry weight. Tell your husband, your wife, I'm the man in this house. Because you are now added more chest. What makes you a man is the information you have. You can talk about things you can't talk about. There's something, women won't like what I'm about to say. You can call me misogynistic or whatever. That's your problem. But what I want to say is the truth. There's something I'm not about. God just designed women to be able to submit to a man. What do I mean? Broad knowledge, broad information is generally not attractive to an average woman. I'm sorry to say, publish it online, abuse me if you like. The truth is the truth. Yes. I want the women to finish laughing at themselves. When they finish, I'll continue my message. Have you not noticed it? Look, medical school in the East, the class are mostly female. Yeah. In Eastern Nigeria, I teach in medical school. Most times, you get to a medical school, if there are 100 people there, 55 are female. I was in a meeting yesterday, I scanned the hall. The number of specialist doctors that I found were female in UNTH, I was surprised. It's very unique to the East in Nigeria. But I'm going somewhere. Call an average one of these specialists. Sit down, discuss Google. They are looking at it like this. The men will be specialists, they will discuss Google, they will do football, they will repair their car, and climb a tree. And look, it's not because the woman is inferior. It's just because God gives her skill in different areas. You understand? No, her skills are different. She can take care of kids, can cook, can take care of a home much better. Let's not lie. We are not the same. The work has been shared. You see where I'm going? Where I'm going is this. If you want to be a man, know many things that your wife does not know. That's what I'm saying. And this thing, you train yourself. I'm not bragging. God give that one to me. If my wife, anything happens, she calls her husband. My husband. You see, I told you once happened once. She sold a toy to somebody. Said the thing was not. She told the person, let my husband come first. And the lady said, I thought he said he's a doctor. And all she did was laugh. I said, you don't know him. And truth to when I came, I said, what is wrong? She told me. And I reasoned. I mean, we are boys now. We know what I mean. We know how to handle electronic things. Fiddle, man, press one or two buttons, change one battery. Thing was working perfectly, normal. So that is what men do. You can't be confused when your wife is confused. What's wrong with you? And what you do is you learn. That's the point I'm making. You sit down there and do what? Learn. Entertain yourself with information. Entertain yourself with information. A new gadget has been developed. YouTube allows you to just sit down and watch. They're talking about AI. Know what is AI. Don't take pride in foolishness. Especially if you're a man. Don't take pride in foolishness. If you don't know, go and find out. That is how you lead. That's how you lead. You are a CEO of a company, all right? If you are CEO of a company, you must know everything. You may not be an expert in everything, but you must know everything. You know a bit of accounting. You know a bit of personnel management. You know a bit of sales. You need a bit of security. You at least you now know when they are talking to you. Eh? Did I tell you the story that happened once? When one guy sold, shortly after I married my wife, sold a set of a computer set to my in-laws. What was the idea? He thought that they won't know what is happening. When in a month I was earning 80,000 naira, all my income put together as a university lecturer and hospital consultant, that computer was 230,000. They were expensive those days. All right? That's how much he collected. So one day I came to the house, I saw it in my brother-in-law's room. I said, let me install something for you. In the process, I noticed that, my father in heaven. I realized this guy took old, used parts, washed it, shined it, coupled it, and gave it to them, and delivered the whole computer system. He could have easily pocketed 80,000 naira profit on that thing if he did it to the best possible level. It was expensive, the cost he gave. I just walked in that day. What's the hard disk? 4 gig? I had a used laptop then. A Dell C600 was bought, so it was not the latest model. My hard disk was 20 gig. Desktop standardly were already going for 40. So they called the guy. I sat him down. I said, how come your memory is so small? He said, I put the extra memory on the extra drive. I said, see, you put 2 CD drives. How do you put memory on drive? I don't understand. He said, no, the extra memory is on the second drive. I said, how? It's empty. And this was before the days of writable disks. So I'm looking at the guy. Basically, the guy thought he could fool everybody. Where I'm going is that I was not a computer expert, but there were things he said, I said, made no sense. He said, the monitor. I said, your monitor is compact. How come? You're supposed to couple the system. I said, this is a used monitor. He said, no. I said, it's a lie. It's used. Compact sells, they don't sell pieces like this. At the end of the day, I just got off this guy. My mother-in-law made him pay every kobo back and carry his rubbish away. Every kobo. He told me that I made him pay every, give me my money back, every dime. I said, why are you so stupid and greedy? If you had done that thing well, you would have pocketed 80,000 naira, which I had to work for a whole month. Do you know all the work in university and the hospital to get? I'm talking about CEO. As a CEO, in quotes now, you know, I wasn't the CEO. I wasn't a computer expert, but there are things he said, just didn't make sense to me. I know they are telling, look, listen, 4 gig in this generation, it has to be an old hard disk you formatted. You used system. You coupled a bunch of rubbish and so. You're a real wicked human being. Love of money. I'm talking about the CEO. For you to head a company, you must know many things. They are promoting people, other people above you. Why wouldn't they? Because you know, you can supervise a guy cutting grass like any other thing. This company says it's only grass we employed people to cut here. One man will know a little bit about grass cutting, about painting the house, about the electricals, little bit of this, this, and this, and that, and that. That is the person that will make the CEO. Because that way he can supervise. I'm talking about men, how to lead your house. Even this cooking thing. For example, now I pick beans faster than anybody in the world. And I've trained my boys. I've trained them how to pick beans. You know what they call picking beans? I'll be picking beans one by one, this generation. We use AI, man, for goodness sake. We train the water and the beans and the stones to separate themselves. At the end of the day, when you finish the stone here, there's beans here, and you cook it. If you want, you can organize a tutorial after. No, ask my wife. I helped her reduce gas consumption by 30% minimum. Yeah, many of you waste your gas all the time. Just put on gas. Gas will just be burning away. Why? Once the water heats up, drop the gas. maintaining 100% is all 100 degrees what you need. If you like, turn it to a furnace. It's not going to cook faster. If you're not using a pressure pot, don't worry yourself. You learn something today. Write it down. I'm telling you, that will look like they didn't know this one. At least I've added it to you now. You're in band A. Your freezer thermostat is on 7. You will soon get to band half A. That they will double, that, you get my point. You'll be paying 500 naira a unit. I tell you, but once your power is constant, your thermostat should not be anything beyond 3. Are you a scientific storage man? A scientific freezer will need it to drop to minus 240, minus. Once you drop, isn't it? One of my guys said, sir, he just got married. He said that he just bought AC, then they increased tariff. And he has a new wife. So I said to him, oh boy, you can still use your AC. He said, how, sir? I said, what temperature is this on? He said, 16. I said, are you a fool? I said, what are you trying to do? Your compressor will come on and will never go off. We'll finish all your units. He said, sir, I was using, is it 1 unit an hour? I said, ah, you will soon run out of business. What should I do? I said, just raise the temperature to 22. You'll be very comfortable and your compressor is off more than half of the time. He said, eh? I said, where are you people? Are you people not in this world the way I am? Now I'm telling you, men, this is what you are supposed to know. All right? Know how to. I can't cook. Oh, I cook the best beans in the world. Okay. Oh, that's the only thing. That one, nobody. My beans. See, damn it. Is no, there's a reason why. You know the reason why? There was a time that was the easiest thing to eat. I became an expert. I could cook beans with my nose. I won't even go near. People are laughing. I can't. Women, you know I'm right. With your nose, you know when beans is cooked. You've not gone there. You just put off that beans is cooked. Just sniff it. The Lord is good. I'm just talking to men, all right? You have to be informed. And how do you get informed, okay? It's just in the kind of things you interact with. Yeah, it's what you interact with. What are you interacting with? On a regular basis. You know, knowledge must be sweet to you. That's an important thing. It must be sweet. You must want to know. You must want to know. You know, if you want to know, God will give it to you. I've said all of this just to explain that we should not be what? Foolish. Foolishness leads to sickness. It leads to poverty. Yes. When we were studying community medicine, they taught us that. They draw a triangle of disease, ignorance, and poverty. And they have arrows going both ways. Disease, ignorance, and poverty. You can't afford to be foolish. Like I said, that is our introduction. How do I become wise? Jonathan, you were quoting the scripture today. And as you were quoting it, I laughed. Because I wrote it down during the night. So when you were saying, anybody knows where it is? I said, tell him it's Jeremiah. Not because I know the Bible from front to back. Even me, I had to look for it. I thought it was Habakkuk or Hosea. So I did my search during the night, and it was Jeremiah. That's how come I knew where it was. Jeremiah said, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. That's verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. What am I saying? We've spoken at length now about why we shouldn't be foolish, why we should be wise. We've laughed at ourselves, all right, about foolish things we had done. And I've given us tips how to become wise. But there's one thing Jeremiah just said. It is not in you to decide to be wise. You may think you want to be wise. You can go out and what you have learned is foolishness. Now everything I've said up to now just to tell us why foolishness is bad. Now we're getting to the main message. The spiritual side of it. There was something that Solomon said. Let's read that one also. The same Ecclesiastes. Just flip over to chapter 7. We're into what the bottom of the chapter. Verse 23. Where I'm going is 26. I just love context when I'm reading. He said, I tested this with wisdom, and I said, I will be wise. But what happened? But it was far from me. Are you seeing that? What has been is remote and exceedingly mysterious. Who can discover it? I directed my mind to know, to investigate, and to seek wisdom and an explanation, and to know the evil of folly and the foolishness of madness. Solomon has some interesting combinations of words. The evil of folly and the foolishness of madness. What does it mean, foolishness of madness? This is my understanding. Just doing things anyhow, believing it will turn out right. That's what they call madness. One day I saw a man do it in front of me. You understand? In front of me. In fact, twice now. In fact, three times. If I keep on thinking, I'll keep on seeing men. This one I want to talk about, I was with my friend in a car. One guy was driving a bus. It entered his head to do Fast and Furious. Some things are done by professionals. It's not a game of chance. How many people saw the adverts of Jean-Claude Van Damme when did they split? Two trucks reversing. The guy stood on the trucks as they split. His legs opened fully into a complete split. I had to go and watch how it was done. But at the end, they put it there. This was done by professionals in a closed environment. It was not photo trick. Don't go and carry it. Your small boy will not tell his brother, drive this car. You drive mommy's car. Now put his leg between. One, he will end up in hospital with dislocated hips, fractured skull, and two dead cars. Yeah, that's what they call madness. When you just assume that you can do something you never practiced to do, you've never been trained to do it, and it will turn out well. You just listen to two lectures on trading stock on the internet, and you have invested your money. It's called the foolishness of what? Madness. In front of me that day, we just waited for this guy to move. He wanted to move out of the way, so he was reversing. Then suddenly I saw him do something. Just turned the steering, revved the car, and the bus, and boom, just moved. I knew what he wanted to do, which an average good driver could do, but not fast. You turn, you look, you just stare yourself. The guy just, I think he watched Fast and Furious the night before. He must have done something like that. Except, of course, this is not a movie, and he's not a professional. So where did he end up? Inside, impacting our vehicle. Wow, that's the next thing he heard, and we felt the jolt. And he came out as a true Nigerian. Sorry, sir. I said, sorry again. I said, there's no sorry. Oga, it was my friend's car. He was driving. You get Panabita, I said, call him. No, I made him pay. My friend wanted to hear, so I said, like which kind of nonsense, sorry. I contributed money to show him that we're nice people. Yeah, after they gave us a bill, I brought out money. I said, this is my portion. Oga, it's your car. Put your own. You are the John Wayne here. Put the balance. I made him pay the money. I made him pay. And that's the right thing to do. It's called the foolishness of madness. Then they were like, what did you think you were doing? It was an unnecessary accident. No, that's not an accident. It was an unnecessary intent. Accident is when you didn't know what was going to happen. This one you did foolishness of what? Madness. One day, me, Israel, Okimuti, and three or four of us were going to Makurdi. We're driving our car, JJ, using the wisdom of sanity. You know, the foolishness of madness. We're using wisdom. The road was very bad. Then these two brand new vehicle buses, recent anyway, they might be the commercial, belong to the same company. They were going far. We guessed from their plate number, Bauchi or something. And they overtook us. Foom, foom, ah! So, you know, I've been driving for a very long time, I told you. So I think I know how to drive. The way these guys overtook us on that road, I started thinking, maybe they went to a school I didn't go to. They're younger men than I was then. They went, it's called foolishness of madness. These guys took off. I said, well, maybe they know something we don't know. On that road, you could see them. They maintained quite a good speed. And they were going, pam, dodging the potholes, navigating, tap, tap. And they were going one after, you know, like a convoy of two vehicles. It was sweet to watch them. Tap, tap, zoom, zoom. We would just go on with our wisdom of sanity. We were just going, okay, we are going to preach. I mean, why die before you get where you're going to preach? Okay. Except that 2 minutes later, no, 10 minutes later, we caught up with them. People were sitting on the ground, injured legs, injured this. The vehicle behind was crushed. It ran into the one in front, the same company, two vehicles. Why? In their tap, tap, they try to overtake one truck. And in there, you know, trying to feel like there's something they know the rest of us don't know. The guy in front ran into a small portion of the truck at the back. It was narrow. The truck was going, no JJ, it was from the back. Next thing, so he had to hit his brake. His guy behind ran into him head on, bam, without any warning. So I told my guys, I said, I was thinking maybe they knew something we did not know. Because we could predict that this is where this will end. So the people in the vehicle, of course, was an impact. The guys behind, mostly, they were injured. And the vehicle behind was dead. That was not going to leave that place. The one in front could still move because it was damaged from behind. A bit of the dent in front, but the major damage was at the back. But that journey had ended. It's called what? The foolishness of madness. You are doing something that is wrong. You just assume it will go right. You are driving on a bad road. You are doing 180 kilometers an hour. And you don't expect to die before your time. I mean, it's called foolishness of madness. Let me not say more than that. What is foolishness of madness? Doing what is clearly wrong, irrational, unreasonable, and expecting it to turn out right. Solomon said, I investigated all of these things to know the evil of folly and the foolishness of madness. What did I discover? You see it. What did I discover? I discovered more bitter than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains, is the one who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be captured by her. What was he saying? I went to investigate wisdom and an explanation. Let's put it like this. We know what's madness. We know what's foolishness. Foolishness is madness. Foolishness of madness. Madness of foolishness. You know what that means. You're ignorant. You're doing things wrongly. That's just madness. Solomon said, look, leave that one. I don't have time for it. I have discovered that it makes no sense. He said, the one that shocked me was that in my pursuit of wisdom, I found a woman. Now, please, get my point. Here, he wasn't talking about woman the way I'm a man and my wife is a woman. No. He was talking about life. He just used the relationship between a man and a woman to depict it. Now, think about it. Samson had all the strength. A woman brought him down. Samson could take kings. A woman brought him down. He could remove gates from cities, the walls. A woman brought him down. So he looked at life. Say, life is like that Delilah. Life is like Delilah. You would think you are wise. The other day, my wife and I were watching a video. I think that's how I learned things. About one of this man at the point in time was the 14th or so richest man in the world. One of the richest men in Europe. He died penniless by jumping in front of a moving train to kill himself in his own hometown in Germany. Why? Because life has traps. He said, this woman, her hands are what? He said, her heart is snares and nets, and the hands are chains. The man, he used a lot of, you know, when the economy was booming, his business was moving. So he used what they call leverage. Borrowed from bank to buy this stock, went up, used his stock as collateral and bought this and all of that. He invested in cement companies. He became rich. One of the richest men in Europe, amongst the top 15 richest men in the world. I think it was the 14th richest man in the world at that point in time. Very well to do. Then COVID happened. Lockdown. This and that. Was it COVID? No, I don't think it was COVID. But one thing happened anyway that shut down the need for new houses. So, construction slowed down. The share price of his cement companies went down. And then suddenly, he was owing a lot of money. So he sold most of the things he had to pay off his loans. He was now worth only a measly tertiary $500 million. Was it 300? Something between 300 and $500 million. I'm not the person telling the story. That was still a lot of money. But most time, but the man, you know, human pride has set in. And he was a very good businessman. So he said, I'm going to make my money back. He now decided to make his money back in the stock market. For those of you who know, he decided to do what they call shorting stocks. That is, he investigated a company that he felt the share price was too high and that it will come down soon. So you buy, there's a way to do it. Let's just leverage on that information that I know this company, the share price currently maybe $50 each, and it's not worth more than $20. It will drop down to at least 25 over the next 18 months to 2 years maximum. So he decided to invest his money in that area to short those stocks. I don't want to give details on how you short a stock. Okay, but that's what, just that knowledge, you can take advantage of it. All right? There's only one thing that happened. So he took all the money he had. Yes. Because if it worked out well, he could triple his money in less than 18 months or so. It felt very good. And really, everybody, it was Volkswagen shares decided to short. He said it was overpriced. Sale of cars was dropping. There's no way the thing won't go down. There's only one mistake he made. Was it Volkswagen? Yes. He did not know. Share price is about who wants to buy, who wants to sell. He did not know that Porsche wanted to take over Volks. So instead of share price dropping, it tripled. Well, okay, I need to explain to you what it means to short a stock. You borrow the stock, sell it off. Promising the people you borrow from that you return it in 18 months. There's some money you pay. Imagine that stock is going for 5 naira. You sell it off, you collect 500 million, you put it somewhere. And if share drops to 1 naira, you have made 4 naira. You now buy it back at 1 naira and return to them. That's a simple principle. But this one, he bought it at maybe $50, it went up to 150. He lost his house. He lost everything he had remaining. One day he left a note, walked to the front of the train track near his house. As the train came, he jumped in front and he was crushed to death. Why? He didn't know that life had traps. Life has what? Traps. That was what Solomon meant when he said, I sought wisdom. I became wise. Only to discover what? The traps of life. I knew what to do. To this and that. That church is going to triple in size. I knew what to do. We bought a permanent site. This and that. Not knowing that in Kano people and Udi people have been fighting over the land for 15 years. And after we did everything, laid foundation, did grand opening ceremony, the Supreme Court awarded the land to the people that we did not buy from. And those ones said, we don't want to sell. How could you have planned for that? Those of you know what I've said happened. Bishop, you know, it happens a lot. Life has what? Traps. One day some people wanted to sell property. Anyway, at least after that, my mind became enlarged. I carried my wife, the Lion Car told us, we went there. When they call money, I did like big man, all right? Yes. May I don't gauge. If I tell you where it is, beautiful. You know that other road, Tinker's Corner Road, that area. You know, beautiful, big, about 9,000 square meters. Good land. I don't calculate, say, Kai, if I can just collect 4,000 square meters for Kingdom Road, then my wife can have the rest for this. And they have some halls there. But to bring the money, sha. I just went and talked to the guy, like, saying, how much is 200 and something? The guy asked for 300 million. I said, all right, no. All we can offer is only 200 million. The guy has more sense than me because after we left, he called him. He said, where will your guy see that kind of money? Because he said, didn't he say he's a pastor or a doctor or something? Where is this kind of money? Me, I was having this because it was ideas we had. No. I mean, it's good to have ideas. That's not the issue. The issue was a plan. My wife don't say, Kai. So, you see this hall, we convert it like this. After that, if you can just manage to get him this payment. We're trying to negotiate. We happen to know his lawyer, who's our brother. He comes here once in a while. He said, okay, he will talk to him if he can take payment like this. So, if you can just secure the first payment, then this one, then the hall will be put to use for this and that. Event center, you put money there. Anyway, let's make it long story short. God said, two of you, just go home. You, go and preach. You, go and be... You know what? Next year, COVID lockdown. Because if we had by chance hoped on developing the center and this and that. My wife had had all kinds of ideas. Don't do projection. You know, don't draw graph. Come down. Do like this. How much you pay the bank? Pay this person. Borrow from here. God says, see, Banky, as you are living a peaceful life like this, don't you like it? I said, I like it too. Anyway, I forgot how I scattered the whole thing anyway. So I said, next year, nobody's going for any event. We didn't know. The following year, lockdown everywhere. All events banned nationwide, worldwide. I look at my wife and say, see deliverance from heaven. See deliverance from heaven. I don't want to be giving too many gist, okay? Because like I told you, we stream. They are businessmen who the only mistake they made was that this is the head of state. They saw you coming out from visiting the vice president. And they went and told Oga, he went to visit this man. It's an Obote man. You know what they call Obote man? Okay. It's a joke. Idi Amin Dada of Uganda. He took over from Milton Obote. You understand? Planted the coup, took over. So if you're his enemy, he calls you an Obote man. He's an Obote man. So this is, and that's it though. Business. That's the end. Our God just decided that, you are a friend to an enemy. You are plotting my downfall in this administration. You now go see Pepe. Next thing, FIRS will come and knock at your door. You won't know where they came. They say your VAT for the last 17 years is not complete. That's because no. They lock your company. While you are talking VAT, the man handling your VAT will go on course from Switzerland. The other guy said, he's the one handling it. I'm not available. But my company is locked. That's your problem. That's my problem. That's what life will be. It's called life having what? Traps. You think you are wise. But the traps of life do not respect your wisdom. They don't respect your wisdom. That's why I laugh at all those teaching you how to trade stock on the internet. I say, why should you trade stock on? Are you okay? Why should you trade stock on the internet? You are not adding value to anybody. You are not sitting down and be trading stock. You are a gambler. There's no skill in it. Warren Buffett, one of the wisest investors this world has ever seen, when COVID came and went, he took a huge hit and sold off all his airline shares. What was his reason? He said they're never going to recover. Meanwhile, my friend told me that in his office in somewhere in America, doctors gathered and we said, man, this is the best time to buy airline shares. The price is down. I was the one that told him what Warren Buffett said. He said, you and my colleagues at work are gathering money. Not knowing that the wisest man says this is good. But what I'm going is that not even their own foolishness. Their own is foolishness of madness. I mean, you're a doctor. What are you doing deciding which stock to buy when the price is down? You don't know. But where I'm going is that Warren Buffett, as wise as he was, he saw that his investment was a bad idea. Why? It was a good idea initially. But you know, COVID did something for all of us. We opened our eyes to things we did not know were possible. So he realized that business travel was coming to an end. And if you know airline business, that's where the money is. Not in all these cheap people that travel to economy class to be running over. They're a little bit of an extension of luggage space. All of you, don't worry, I sit in the luggage space too. It's all of us. The day I saw the analysis of airline business, they use economy class to fill the plane. Their own, they just pay. We use to buy fuel. The real money is in front. Then that you enter your plate, as you pass the economy, the business area and first class, just begin them. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Thanks for subsidizing this flight. The Lord is good. But as wise as he was, life happened to him. COVID happened. Lockdown happened. He realized this. And he took a huge hit. He lost a lot of money. But that's how life is. Life has what? Traps. It has traps. So even though we have said we shouldn't be foolish, Jeremiah said, I have realized, no matter how much a man wants to be wise, it is not within him to give himself wisdom. First, we talk about the foolishness of That's the problem with being foolish. Now we know we should be wise. Next point. It's not within us to acquire wisdom. Even though the Bible says acquire wisdom. But Jeremiah says it's not within us. I go to the last part of my message. What's the last part? I'm going to tell you this. Please. I have never, now this is what I'm saying carefully. I have never seen somebody who walked away from the word of God and prospered. Never. This is the core of today's message, how to be wise. It's not my sister was telling me that. She was telling somebody that, don't do this. It's good. He said, it's not good. He said, the only thing she has to say is that, pastor said it's not good. And guess what happened? I was right. It's the MMM thing. The only defense she had was that pastor said. Now listen to me carefully. I've been around for some time. I have never seen somebody who sat with God's word. Now, it's not just Kingdom World Ministries. This is not the only place where to teach the word of God in this life, is it? So, but I'm going to use an example from things I know. I've never. When they just get up, either you got offended, or you got busy, or you prospered or something, and you abandoned the word of God and the brethren, and you prospered. I've never seen it happen. Now, please, I'm not talking about come to my church. That's not what I'm talking about. Bishop Oyedepo will tell you, God's word never leaves you the same way it meets you. It's either bringing you up or it's taking you down. That will never leave you the way it met you. I've realized that when God, now, this is a message. Wisdom comes from only one place. Solomon said, what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of God. You know what I found out? Wisdom is a spirit. It's not determination to learn. You can hear and not understand. You can see and not perceive. So, even though I said, learn, open your eyes, read the history, read current affairs, be aware of what's going on around you. Brethren, that was just one part of the message. The core is the one I'm preaching now. I have found that there is no wisdom possible except God gives it to you. It's good to open your eyes to want to learn. It's good to want to observe. You can observe and decipher a wrong thing. I'm sorry to say. You know, I was speaking in Sokoto some time ago. There's another pastor that was there. He said, Pastor Banky, you don't seem to believe any of these things. And is that what my sister was saying? That in our office, they would tell her that you don't believe anything. This is how when companies come to sell something. You tell them that it's not good. But then while she was watching, one man came to sell them water. They all bought it 5,000 naira each. After he left, they found it was water. And one of them came back and said, hey, and you were saying so. Maybe you were abusing me that time. So the man came and was praying. Said, if you have eye problem, you put it in your eyes, it will go away. A man you have never seen will drop something in your eye. You know, human beings are really foolish. This eye will now only two you get. That God has to work extra to protect it. God protects me. They have to describe this as the apple of his eye. That is, then you open like this. Person where you don't know. Go drop something where you don't know. And put it inside. Let me be honest. Shouldn't God punish you? I mean, like, shouldn't God remove that eye and go and give somebody that doesn't have? You have no respect for your eye. Before you touch this my eye, even to blow it, you must be a loved one. Stranger will not blow my eye. Okay, someday, I blow and leave him. It's probably somebody I know. Who I know wants my progress. You now open this eye, give a stranger to drop something inside. At the end of the day, all of them paid for 5,000 naira. The guy walked away. They realized later on there was a fraudster that came, sold them water. No, water. He didn't even bother to put salt inside. Water. The brother told me, I was talking, he said, first of all, you don't seem to believe any of these things. Like now, they talk about climate change, global warming. Well, like I said, is it climate, global warming, is it climate changing? I don't know. All I know, what I disagree with, you can put it on record that I said it. And listen, yes, I don't think it take you up to 10 years to realize I was right. What I disagree with is what is called the anthropogenic theory to explain climate change. That is, it is the activity of mankind that changed the climate. I say I don't agree. Why? It has not been proven. That's why they keep on telling you, all scientists agree. All scientists agree. Do you know why? It's not true. That's why they keep on repeating it to you. And everything that happened, they'll say it's a sign. It's a syndicated approach. Every time one thing happens, like a small tornado drowned one rich man in UK, drowned him off Italy coast. They were in their boat, just about 500, 700 meters from the coast. There was a bad weather, but nobody saw the twister coming. It tricked them, dumped all of them and the boat in the water. And they put it there. It's a sign of what we are going to be seeing as the globe gets warmer. So what is the solution? Buy electric cars, stop using this, and all of that. Now, I'll say it again. I'm wiser than my teachers because the word of God is my meditation. It's a lie. Is the globe warming? Yes, it is possible. Is it because of what these things people are doing? The answer is nobody knows. That's what I will tell you. Let me not say no. The answer is what? Nobody knows. There are about 4 or 5 standard theories to explain what's going on in the globe. One of them is about the sun. You know, till now, we don't know what's going on in the core of the earth. I hope you know it's incredibly hot. There are so many theories. There are so many. But the one that's pushed in our face is decided by politics. So that's why I said, nobody knows. So I told the brother, I said, he said, Pastor Mark, you don't believe any of these things. I said, I can't because, see, my people, a lot of them make no sense. If God gives some wisdom. I said, if you eat sugar, you will die. I said, you see, America has a problem of excess of everything. Sugar is not the problem. It's an excessive lifestyle. Please, I hope you're getting my point. The world is full of all kinds of lies. The only defense you have in this life, that's why I'm going with the whole talk, is the word of God. There's no other thing that can make you wise. I was telling you, all right, that I've never seen anybody, never, walk away from God's word and prosper doing it. It's not possible. I've never seen. This world is full of all kinds of ideas and lies. They will tell you something, you follow it, you think you are wise. At the end of the day, you're in confusion. That is why, when we say you don't believe that, I'm proud not to believe many things. Why? I believe the word of God. Where I'm going with the whole thing, do you know? Do you know how many things have been proven right concerning? In this medical profession, thank God, God gives me some understanding. And this is not now, this is years ago. I will read some things, I say it doesn't make sense. Why? I say it only makes sense if you think life is a game of chance. If you know there's a creator, this cannot make sense. It's like saying that oxygen is bad for us because on this planet. And you're like, how can oxygen be bad for us? Is that not why? Is that kind of thing I'm talking about? You just wake up in the morning and say, it's not good to eat this. I said, if it's not good for us to eat, why did God command us to eat it? He said, if you eat meat, you will die. I said, but the Bible says, I gave you for food. I have more understanding than my teachers. Why? Because your testimonies are my meditation. Now, this is where I'm going. Do you know a lot of those things that I have said again and again? Yeah, it has to do with milk. They say milk is bad for you. I said, can it be bad for you? When God is taking them into a land that flows with milk and honey. After many years, the nurse says, sorry, we have found out that dietary cholesterol is not your problem. I said, but I said it more than 20 years ago. And I had only one basis for it too. I had only one basis, scripture. And I was proven right. People now say, do you know how many times people have forwarded things to me? Sir, you said this thing 10 years ago. Look at it. They do a research. They now publish something. Say, but you said this 7, 8 years ago. Look at it. If you want to be wise, forget the book you have read. If you want to be wise, forget all those things. There is no way to have wisdom in life apart from the word of God. Please, I need to explain that further. I don't mean just about I go and cram the scriptures so I can learn something. No. I am talking about having a heart that respects divine opinion. Now, let me tell you something God does. Even in what you have never heard preached, you will have understanding. Even in what you don't have conscious understanding, you will make the right choices. Do you get what I'm trying to say? See, those who have done business and success in this life, they will let you know. Oh boy, there's no way of being sure. Just do the one way you sabi do. Life has traps. We will tell you some basic things and all of that. You learn it. Sometimes I see, in fact, I saw one guy the other day. He was organizing a program for billionaires to come and teach Christians, Christian billionaires, so that you know what they did. I said, okay, I hope you first tell them that there's no guarantee in what you want to teach. None of these men started trying to be billionaires. I told you about Dangote. He was very rich, very rich. He was satisfied with it. And somebody called him and said, look, this now that you have money, you don't have a name. I know the name of the person. I just don't want to mention it now. He said, you have money, you don't have a name. That look, now that God has given you this amount of money, go out and make a name. So he asked the person, how do you make a name? He said, you can only make a name if you build. He said, go out and go and start building. It's one reason he decided to build a refinery. He said, you have to build. That right now you just trade. That you never have a name like that. So the man said, all right, let's start building. So he went to cement. That's how he built cement factories. Except that after a few years, richest man in Africa, they mentioned his name. Which is a black man in the world. They mentioned his name. He went out to make a name through building. I don't mean build houses for himself. I mean, you know, building in, you know, factories, stuff like that in the industries. And that's how he became. So if you want to tell him, so you come and tell him, so guys, I walk. But one day this man told me something, which if he never told me, I won't be here giving this lecture. I hope you're getting my point. The traps of life makes it such that no matter what you learn, there's no guaranteed result. The wisest men can teach you what they know, humanly speaking, except that in the season in which you will live, everything they taught will be outdated. Let me give an example. When I was young, as an example, you sang, you made music. It was relatively easy to make money from selling your materials, the vinyl disc. To pirate them was hard. Do you understand? So it was easy to catch pirates. To print a vinyl disc, you know what it means? Then when we were older, CDs, people can make a million CDs at the back of their house. Do you follow my point? So the way Ebenezer Obey of those days, Oliver the Cook of those days, the way they made money from their music, will not be the same way people these days will. So if you learn their wisdom, you fail. Nothing wrong with it. The time has just changed. Now you have to stream. Are you getting my point? Yeah. You know, I heard one man talking the other day. It was mentioned, I won't tell you, I was reading. It was mentioned one artist of today. He said, the guy is too expensive. There's going to price himself out of the market. He said, and this was his argument, that what you need is popularity. He said, take shoes for less so you'll be popular. That if you don't do these shoes, people will not like you. So I can be charging this amount of money. He said, they'll soon forget you. See, new strategy. So he was advising that, look, let him take less money. He will do more shoes. If you have more shoes, you'll get more popular, you'll get more streams. Now, I'm not saying you should go and do that. I'm just giving you, see modern wisdom. Which if you told Oliver the Cook, you have a headache. So you should charge less. Why? I don't know whether you're getting my point. To him, it won't make any meaning. This generation has a different set of rules than the other generation. I hope you're getting my point. So that is why nobody really can give you wisdom that will sustain you forever. But you know, there's somebody who knows times and seasons. He decides the epochs. He will give you wisdom of things that will not happen until the next 10 years. But he will position you in such a manner that you are ready when it comes. Told you about the man who told me that he built a massive plaza in Abuja. And then June 12 was annulled. And they lost money heavily. Just because of that. Then one day when God wanted to give him money back, Obasanjo came, appointed El-Rufai as FCT minister. El-Rufai went demolishing every structure that is not properly built according to the original plan. The value of his property went through the roof. Almost overnight. How could he have planned that? But God knew. He would have been wiped out if he mistakenly built that thing in the wrong place. So God made sure he built it in the right place. So when they were demolishing things all around, they didn't touch him. Every day, his value kept on going up. All his competitors were being brought down. Do you follow what I'm trying to say here? See, you want to know what wisdom is? This is my message for today, and I close it there. You want to know wisdom? Know God. You want to know wisdom? Have respect for the word of God. Have an intense desire to know the Lord. Not for what you will get from him, but be satisfied with who he is. Listen, let me tell you something. Don't let anybody use... See, God bless my wife. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If everybody say, Mrs. Bank, God bless you. Let me tell you something. I've told you before. See this girl. She knows the difference between her husband, boyfriend, father of her children, whatever title you want to give him, and Pastor Banky. She knows the difference. I don't know how God taught it to her. She does. There was a time I told you the story. She annoyed me. And being the kind of crazy man that your guy can be once in a while, you understand? I said, please, I'm going to preach. Don't come and upset my soul. Don't come near where I'm preaching. How can I be preaching? I'm looking at Jezebel. Is it good? That was the way I was feeling. Say, oh, the enemies of my soul, those who want me not to enter my destiny. I was just angry. It was irrational, but I was angry. I know what she said to herself. This man will not stop me from coming to hear the word of God. She didn't say anything to me. She allowed me to leave the house. I just said, please, I'm going to preach. I don't want to see you where I'm preaching. She didn't even say anything. After I left, she waited for the time. Normally, I come earlier. That it was in the evening. So we started by 5 o'clock. So a few minutes to 5, she left the house and packed downstairs. She climbed, waited. As we were praying, you know the way we pray at the beginning. We started the prayer 4:45. They finished praying. 5 o'clock, I took the pulpit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She entered and sat at the back. Knew there was nothing I could do again. You know, she came, sat down, heard the word. When Pastor Panky finished preaching, she wrote everything the preacher was saying, the man of God, the prophet. Everything he was saying, she wrote down. Then after that, she closed her Bible and returned to her wicked husband. But I still remember that day, she said, no, how can this man stop me from hearing the word of God? Some people will say that, he's a wicked man. How can he be preaching? No. How was that? This man is anointed. I recognize he's anointed. I will go and hear what he's saying, but I won't talk to him. If after that message that day, she will have given you all the notes she took. And then she will sit down and say, my husband is a very wicked man. Do you know he did this? Do you know he did like this? Do you know he did like this? You know, you that don't know, you'll be confused. Excuse me. I thought you said he's the one that preached this one. Say, no, it's not him. It's Pastor Banky. This is my husband. What I'm saying is that I see people run away from church or from where the word is going because they are offended. I say, what is up with you? The brethren there, they don't like me. I saw one drama the other day. One guy came to his father. Daddy, I got this feeling you don't love me. The man said, love you. Love you. Do you have a house you live in? The boy said, yes. You got a bed? Yes. You have clothes on your back? Say yes. Do you have food to eat? Say, that is love, my friend. He said, told the boy, don't go out. He said, do you think my employer pays me because he loves me? No, he said, because he owes me. Say, I owe you as your father to provide for you. I provided for you. This love thing, leave it for your mother and your sisters. Me ain't loving. No, but I'm too busy providing for all of you to love anybody. Was the man right? Look, honestly, he was right. That is love. If you misbehave, I discipline you. I teach you the word of God. I provide for you. As for hugging you and crying on your shoulder, it's for your mother. It's not for me. If I sit there every day, we can't eat. We can't say, I love all of you. I love all of you. They eject us. I love all of you. I love all of you. Exactly. Let me spend quality time in hunger. The man told his son, he said, my friend, go out into the world. Make sure people owe you. They don't owe you love. Work for them. He said, look, my God doesn't love me, but he pays me regularly. One of these is that. So when you come to church, you think you came to church for hugs and I say, you know, and when I was sick, nobody visited me. Should we visit you? It's nice. We should. So I was going through stuff. Nobody answered. It's good. We should. But if we did not, that should never offend you from going to that church. Except that pastor was never preaching and you were there for socials alone. Yeah, it's a sign. It's a sign. It's a sign. You're only there for the socials. But if the word of God was coming from there, I've seen people tell me something like that before. Eh? Wait again. I just the person. Don't go there again. I said, go away. Hey, first, everybody gets your own issue. Pastor Bank has one unique issue. Sorry, I don't mean any offense. Please, nobody should be offended. Please, I'm begging you. Will you be offended? You are not coming here to do me a favor. Please now, please don't be offended. Please, I'm begging you. But let's just get each other clear. Nobody comes to Kingdom World to do me a favor. Nobody. Even the wife I married, I've told you, when I told her not to come, she still came. Because she recognized that I'm not doing this for him. The word of God for me is in his mouth. Look, I appreciate everybody. I do. You know me. But that is why I don't believe in follow-up. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. Believe, you know, we've talked about what believe is. Those of you around yesterday. Believe is not just to agree. I agree with follow-up. I just don't believe in it. If you're here yesterday, you know what I'm talking about. Those who want to do follow-up, God will bless them. But me, I've met you before. Hey, I come, I don't see you again. What happened? You know, sometimes, that is when I cook. I say, okay, God bless you. Do you know, I don't ask a second time. My wife will say, it's not good now. What is not good? I go and ask her now why she's not coming. She said, maybe they need encouragement. I said, who encouraged me when I started going to learn the word of God? So maybe that's what my problem is. Nobody has ever, in fact, when I was younger, everybody who followed me up was a nuisance to my soul. Maybe that's why I react the way I do. Nobody ever encouraged me to go to church. And I went there because of them. There are times when I went because of you, and in my mind, will you get out from my life? And most times when you turn your back, I run away from your church. I go to another one. But as per the word of God, I can't remember. I went for it myself. As a little boy on campus first year, God was already dealing with me. I remember when one of my roommates and classmates, of course, offended me. I told myself, I will hurt this boy, he will cry. I don't want to tell you the evil plans I had for him. I still remember the plans I had for him. I was going to frustrate his life in that school. Because he used his body size to oppress me. I said, good. You will know that man will not get body size, he gets something else. I had my strategy for frustration. That is, the kind of thing that you go and pray. Who is doing this to me? Yet, this was maybe like Friday. Sunday was coming. 4 o'clock, we used to go for CU fellowship. And I said I wouldn't go. I refused to go. You know why? I knew what to entail. That if I go, I will forgive this nigga. And I'm not planning to forgive his soul. I have to fry him. Sunday came. I was angry. Said, I don't know who I was talking to. Now I know it must have been the Holy Spirit or an angel. I said, leave me. I'm not going. I closed my ear. I'm not going to church today. This fellowship, I know they go. Before I was there, we worshipped and praised. And I was very angry with God that day. Because by the time I left, I had done what he commanded. I forgave him. I look back now. I may be wrong with what I'm about to say next. But I do think that what happened was that God saved me from repeating my first year because of that. And I know because the very thing that will have made me repeat my first year, he repeated his first year. That's why I assumed that's what happened. Two of my classmates repeated first year for that thing. But God supernaturally delivered me. It was just about the information. They just changed the date of exam. And nobody was informed. But something made my mother say, you, go to school. Go back to school. So I went, I came. Ah, my friend said, you are here. Did you hear? Hear what? Your exam is supposed to be on Monday. It's supposed to be next week Friday. But on Saturday, my mother said, go to school. I had classes who did not know. Two of them, that guy was one. He repeated first year for that reason. I look back now. I think God said, for obeying me, I will spare you this trouble. That's what I think. I said, I can't be 100% sure of what happened. What I do remember is that nobody begged me to come. Even though I was fighting the Lord, I still went. So when I see people now, they say, hey, I've not been seeing you in church. See, let me tell you something. Eh? God forgive me all the bad things. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. See. Let me just tell you something. Eh? As at now, once you're an adult, a lot of people I deal with here are over 30. I won't beg you to come here. I won't beg you to tune in. I won't beg you for anything. I owe you one thing, to inform you once, twice. I just believe that you are old enough to know the direction you want your life to face. And I'm not the only person that gives people direction. Yeah. So, we can be friends though, but I won't bother you. I'm very good at defining relationships. My wife is one that has a problem with defining relationships. When I say, if you are my friend, you're supposed to be my friend. No. Friendship gets category. I have a lot of friends, okay? I have some who believe I am called. Very strongly. They believe Banky is in ministry, is doing the work of God. They use my name to brag. But I don't think they are my disciples. They're my friends. I have people who claim to be my friends. As far as I'm concerned, they think I'm misguided the way I'm running ministry. And we're still friends. I have friends who believe, see, I'm preaching, they are there listening. They are there listening. What I say, they take it to go and run their lives. Yes. I have friends, when it comes to age, whether the same age or they are older than me, but the honor with which they treat me, sometimes I'm embarrassed. Some of these guys are anointed. They carry clout. Do you get my point? Men tremble before them, but when they see me, the respect they give, I'm like, why? You know why? It's not me. He said, no, the word of God is in your mouth. So that's for me. I just identify who is who. I don't get angry with you. What am I getting angry with you over? I'm not angry. It is the reason why I don't fight you if I don't see you. If we are good friends, how have you been? If you are junior to me, I can harass you small. But once I locate that, you have better things to do with your life. Hey, I leave you alone. It's not the reason why I have peace of mind though. So when they get too many disappointments, after the preaching I preached to that lady and that guy, they don't come for kingdom work. How is that reducing what I'm doing? Sorry, can I talk money small? I can assure you of one thing. Nothing less than 80% of the money kingdom was spent does not come from people who come here. Do you get my point? You know, COVID period, when churches were closing down, income was dropping. Kingdom didn't suffer 1% drop in income. 1%, even though we had to close down too, we just used to come here to stream. Maximum of us that will be here, 7. But people couldn't come. And yet, ministers are coming. Some people are doing communion by force so that they can collect. They say, take your communion, drop your offering, you can go home. And they laugh. I said, things don't rough, man. Things don't rough. So we have to devise strategy. One pastor said, you take the communion from the window. I said, the offering basket is next door. I said, yeah. You know, it was interesting. The fashion song that just take your car, you reach there, just call. Yeah. Drive through communion service. Yeah, in Nigeria here. Yeah. They were laughing at us. Say, these pastors say, if they don't collect this money, they will die. Say, to fortify you against COVID, come and collect your communion. So just go there, you wind down, somebody hand you communion, they drop your offering and go, oh God. I testified at that time. We didn't notice. There was no radio station that was broadcasting that said that we couldn't pay them because of COVID. What did it concern me? God kept on sending our money. So that you can see I have no time to fight anybody. Even if it was money I was fighting for, it's not necessary. Why am I saying all of these things? I just believe that an adult should recognize that he has a personal responsibility to go after the word of God. That is why I personally don't do follow-up. But what I do, of course, if you're a regular person, I've not seen this brother in a while. I just put the call. Hey, My honesty, I want to check, how are you? Something must be disturbed. Do you get my point? I have to show concern, love. You're a friend. You're a brother. That's what I mean. That's the only one I know how to do. I have never, listen, let me say this again. I have never seen anybody. Now, please, this is not about kingdom word. You may be in church somewhere listening to me from Atlanta, from Australia, from Bhutan, from, give me another rare country. Laos, thank you. Laos, wherever. Just know, true wisdom that shields your life, that protects you, does not come from reading secular books. It's not come from reading history. There, you only learn the wisdom that has traps and that can fall into that trap. If you see that portion we read just now, what did he say? He said, the one that is pleasing to God will be delivered from her. He said, but the sinner will be captured. Did you read that? He said, one who is pleasing to God will escape from the traps of life, but the sinner will be captured. What have I preached today? Let me summarize it. Brethren, one, in this life, you can't afford to be foolish. You can't. But the real wisdom of life, which protects you. Please, let me say something about ancestral curses. Have you heard of ancestral curses before?
Yes.
In Christ Jesus, is broken.
Amen.
Fact. Fact. Satan knows. In our Bible study, we're going to go into it next. Talking about, you know that work Satan did at the beginning? Is he doing it now? People think that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's all. No. The same way it tempted Adam, it still comes to the new creation to tempt them out of their inheritance. When we say curses have been broken, Satan says, okay. But we can trap you back, can't we? We can. How do we do it? Temptations. So ancestral curses are reinstated in their effect when we don't shift away, repent away from ancestral misbehavior. Ancestral iniquity is a problem that Christians often have. That is why you have to be careful not to learn the ways of your father. Don't learn the ways of your mother. Don't learn the ways of your family people. You have to deliberately learn the ways of God, because that is the only place where you have true deliverance. You know why I'm talking about it? Because many times when we are to be delivered, do you know, please allow me to use this illustration. You can come from a background that has an ancestral curse that is activated at the age of 40. You are 32, you don't know. You are doing well. You are doing fantastically well. But you are going to fall sick at 38. You will not work for a year. And if you go and check it out, that's the pattern. You won't work for a year. You are going to liquidate most of the material resources you have trying to get well. And you are going to get well by the time you are 40. You will have been out of business and work for 2 years. And you will be broke. And you will never get back on your feet the rest of your life. Yeah, it happens. But you know what? You don't know. Do you need to know? No. I'm not telling you, go and find out. I'm telling you the Lord knows. He knows. But he says, now you are giving your life to Christ. You have deliverance already. However, Satan is there trying to, listen, trap you back. I'll give as an example. That thing, because the curse that God gave the house of Eli, it did not come upon Abiathar until he conspired against the anointed of the Lord. We can say, in effect, that curse was activated through conspiracy against the Lord's anointed. And it's in Psalm 2 like that. Do you get my point? Now, let me tell you what the Word of God does for you when you interact with the Word of God. Okay, before I say it, I found an example. Maybe this, that curse says, listen, for us to be activated, this guy must commit adultery. He has to. He's married now. He married when he was 31. So, we have a short time. So, you know how they go about it? They don't just go to the guy. They go to the lady. Start giving him beef at home. Start harassing his soul. Start disturbing him about money. So, from the time he's 35, his wife starts getting, you know, progressively annoying. She does not know it's a satanic ploy. Not targeted at her. Satan didn't care anything about Eve. He was targeting who? Adam. So, no, of course, he bears with it. A year later, then Satan closed the next card. Now he's perpetually walking in what? Bitterness, anger, hardly going home, and all of that. A year later, then somebody starts becoming nice to him. This is what a woman should be like. It's a ploy. By the time he's 38, he has started committing adultery. Satan said, thank you very much. A year later, he falls sick. Then that pattern is reinstated. That's not what I want to emphasize. What I want to emphasize is the deliverance. When people ask me, what about, I said, Delilah comes into every life. How will I know my Delilah? I said, you don't have a problem. You don't have any business trying to learn who Delilah is. He said, if you are weak, if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Small. Your strength is small. So what happens is that if your strength is small, you will fall. But this is what the word of God does. If the word is building you up, you will overcome Delilah, overcome all the temptations of life, and not even be aware they ever happened. So the one that goes to the presence of the word of God, because what God is doing is infusing his spirit. So he goes to church. Let's assume only him comes. Let's assume leave Madam out for a while. Madam is doing things that is not good. The guy just, look, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Occasionally, pastor will just say it, so he overlooks it. Occasionally, pastor will just say it. He doesn't even think about it, he overlooks it. Satan uses the greatest energy on that woman to push him. For one reason or the other, without him being aware, he overcomes it. Why? Because every time he comes, the word of God comes in and sets him on his feet. He says to him, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Sometimes he's not even talking about it. It just strengthens him to do what is right. And don't forget, God gives time for temptation. Say you'll be tempted 10 days. So he says, Satan, you've been on this matter now 6 months. He's not going to fall. It's enough. He cannot allow you to be tempted more than you are able to bear. So at that moment, God says, enough, get out. And the woman wakes up one morning, the demon has departed because God gave them time. 6 months is the maximum you have on this matter. So the trajectory that this evil spirit plotted is truncated. So he's the age of 40, nothing bad happens. He becomes 50, he's much more prosperous than he was when he was 35. And when you preach ancestral curse has been broken, the man says, yes, I know in my family, nobody ever makes me, and he doesn't even know how he broke it. It was broken in Christ. The Satan came back, let me entrap him back, but because of the strength that comes from the infusion of the word of God, he stood that temptation. And the Satan was frustrated and left his life. That's the principle. That is why I don't like those who teach, go and check what is happening in your family. You don't need to check it. Because life is full of traps. They are teaching you half wisdom. You check what is going on in your family. What do they normally tell you? You have found out. Nobody in your family, beyond the age of 40, there's a pattern. What did I say? There is a pattern. Begin to say, this pattern, you must, hey, kabaya, boom, kabo, hey, ya, baba. Then when you finish it, ha, baba, the girl is with me, I say, ah, bros, how far now? You fall for adultery. All this prayer. Don't let me start. Because, you see, you don't pray. Nobody resists the devil like that. There must be, it is written. I told the story of the man of God whose his wife did him a strong thing. They were married for 10, 12 years. How long were we married? Then one day the woman packed the children and took them away. And for over 10 years, he's not seen his own children. He said, I can't recognize my child now. There were two of them if I was to see them today. He said, but there was no night all the years I was married to this woman that she was asleep after 2 a.m. 2 to 4, is it 2 to 3 or 2 to 4? Every night, she's praying. She's praying. And what is she praying? Die by fire. Car, element me. Yeah, wah, wah, wah. Now, she was praying like this before she married him. So this girl must have prayed like that for nothing less than 15 to 20 years. Yes, when the temptation came, she crumbled under it. She crumbled under it. That's why I don't like all this. Hey, who's doing your family? Begin to identify them. Every candle that is lit, every altar that is raised. Brother, you know I won't lie to you. Why would I lie to you? I have never prayed those rubbish prayers. Never. Not one time in my life. It's called spiritual wisdom. I understand that when Satan is coming, he needs something to hold. So I don't care about which kind of Satan you are. Because even the small ones, you have nothing to hold in my life. See, Christians, I'm talking about wisdom. The only wisdom that works for us is the word of God. Paul talked about it. That wisdom is called Christ. He said, Christ is the, wisdom and what? the power of God. It's been made unto us wisdom. It's only as you interact. He said, the words that I speak, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. It's as he infuses his spirit into you by his word that you walk in God's wisdom. God's wisdom comes in two categories. The one you can, that comes with understanding and instruction. And the one that comes with understanding, you know what you are doing. There are some that don't come with understanding. You just do what is right. You don't even know why you did it. You do what is right. You don't even know why you did it. And let me tell you something about being a Christian. See, please, Van, repeat that means that you have to learn to walk by the Spirit. Please read my book, Guided by the, no. Receive the Holy Spirit. You have to be filled with the Spirit in every aspect of life. How are you filled with the Spirit constantly? It's through the infusion of the Word of God. What I'm trying to say, many things you will face in life as challenges. See, you think Daniel, no, what's the name of that? Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. You think they planned not to bow? They didn't plan not to bow. Bowing was removed from them. I've learned enough now. I have not a shred of doubt in my heart. It was a manifestation of the Spirit. By faith, they stood. There are things they want to tempt you with. You don't even know why you told them no. It's now I understand. Many of the obedience we give to the word of God, it's not born of knowledge. It's an infusion of the Spirit. Sometimes I look back to things we did as students. Now, I'm wondering whether I even have the strength today to carry out some of those actions. But how did we do it? Now I understand. It was by the Spirit. It was not human intellect. It was by the Spirit. You make decisions, you know, bold decisions. You do, you hear me give testimonies a lot of times, academic things. And why did you do that? I don't even know why. But it all happened was that the word was always our friend. Because if the word is not your friend, the Spirit does not have a way to ride through. Did you catch that? The Spirit rides on the word. The Spirit rides on the word. They can tell you, I can be here telling you how to identify Jezebel. You will marry Jezebel that has not yet manifested. So all my tricks for identifying Jezebel can't work. Because the year of her manifestation is 2025 and you are married in 2023 or 2024. How will you now know she's Jezebel? The spirit of Jezebel has been given a time bomb. She will explode 2025. So when you see her, or more, in your tongue, the human being has finished. This is the end of humanity. No woman after this one. Hey, no wahala now. After I don't marry and finish, then she will now detonate. You know, I say, but pastor said, you know, these were the tricks they told us. All those things. They worked, except that she had not yet what? Manifested. So that's it. Too bad. I'm sorry I confused you. Now you are stuck with your Jezebel. Do you follow my point? What I'm going to say, there's no human wisdom possible to guide your life. No. All of them will fail you because this life has too many traps. The only protection is a constant infusion of the word of God. Let me say this and I close with it. Please don't ever walk away from the word. Please. Please. I'm not preaching, of course you know. I'm not preaching because, Pastor, is it because I've not been around? I don't even know you're around today. Do you follow my point? That's not the issue. That's not the issue. And I'm not preaching this about what I preach. You hear me talk about many men of God. See, please, I can't go. It's not intellectual knowledge we are getting from these people. Sometimes maybe I'm in my house. I just put a message on my chest. Okay, let it just play. I've listened to this message 10 times, 20 times. There's one man I said, I will try and download these messages today now. I've queued them up, just packed them. I'll listen to every one of them. He's not likely to tell me something I've not heard from him before. See, if you listen to me, just gather like 100 of my messages. Listen to it properly. Write everything down. Then throw that 100 away. Gather another 100. Totally different. If I see anything new, maybe half. And each one is averaging 2 hours. You know why? When it comes to the letters, there's little change. There's very little. There's nothing I'm saying today now that you probably haven't heard me say before. Many of them, I'm hearing myself say for the first time today, but that's because I forgot I said it 5 years ago. I told you, there are things I hear. You know, some people quote me. I won't mention their names here. In fact, many of you do anyway. Okay, the ones who preach amongst those of you that quote me. Many of you are preaching, you say, like pastor said, I feel like, which pastor? I'm looking like, I hope it's not this one. And they will go ahead. Then he now said, and I'm like, my wife, please, can you tell this guy to stop misquoting me? He's not misquoting. I can't remember saying it. Where I'm going is that there's nothing new, really. Pastor, there's nothing new we can... Don't go to church tomorrow, but people they've never heard before. You will just fail in ministry. That is how it happens. Yeah, that's what happens. That's why people fail. You know, this happens as pastors, though. It's the same thing I've been preaching now for the last 6 months. They will say, this pastor is dry. Leave it. They are the ones that's dry. Yeah, because if you cannot by yourself tap something new out of what I'm saying, you yourself get dead spirit. So don't be intimidated by anybody. In fact, you can dare yourself, say, next 4 Sundays I'm preaching the same thing. Let me see who will talk. Where am I going? We're not doing these things to get knowledge. We are getting, thank you, we are doing it to what? To tap a spirit. That's why sometimes maybe I want to make decisions about ministry. I go and take Answering the Call by Kenneth Hagin. I can preach that message myself. I've listened to him, I don't know how many scores of times. But something I want to make it, I just carry the message. Put this on my chest. I'll close my recline. Let it play. It's about 15 minutes. At the end of 15 minutes, I will know what the Spirit is saying. You take a book like Courage to Conquer, Lester Sumrall. Just read it. At the end of it, you know the direction your life is supposed to go. It is not the man didn't write anything inside there. Does he know you? It was in the story of his life. But by the time you are following with that story, a spirit rides upon it and enters into you and tells you the right thing to do. And if that spirit is not entering your life regularly, bros, you are not walking in wisdom. If you like, read Anthony Robbins. Read the, give me 10 names. Brian Tracy. Andrew Carnegie, thank you. Huh? Sherry Akov, John Maxwell. Robert Kiyosaki. So you mention all these people, okay? Cram everything they have to say. They are nice guys. You've heard me quote some of them again and again. Let me tell you something you did not know. None of their words have life. None. All these people you mentioned, there's no life in the words they speak. They are motivational speakers. You need an uneducated preacher of the word of Christ to speak to you in bad English. Or your native tongue. Wrong intonation. Like one preacher said, if Abraham had went to any other mountain, I said, oh God, they know they speak English for America. He said, if he had went to any other mountain. Some of these preachers, any child in SS3 should not listen to them because you go and write nonsense in Jayek and they give you zero. Yet, without that bad English, the spirit that they are pouring into you, the spirit those men will pour into you. It's not the accuracy. It's not human wisdom. It's not the letters. It's the spirit and the power of God. People of God, let me encourage you. Thank God for online streaming and all of that. Find a living church around you. Some of you, you know, pastors, you know, they say, this church should be air conditioned. Praise God, people, you know. All this flashing light you people put in church. I don't know. Some people put those lights, they said for video effects, all right? But my guy said they don't know light for video effects because. Some people say, that's how. See, is this place air conditioned? Yeah, it is. At least. We thank God for the one that is. You're not sweating. I'm the only one sweating here. I can see that. The only one sweating. Because I'm on fire. I thank God for that. But what I'm making is that, see, all this is not what makes church. Look around your neighborhood. Find a church where, just go and listen to what they do. Once you say, these people are serving God sincerely. The preachers are speaking the word of truth from their heart. I'm not saying join the church. I'm not saying join. Just occasionally go there, sit at the back, and just sit through the service. Join the hymns. Just listen. They will come, some of them, they are younger than you, they are less educated than you, their English is bad. But don't let those things distract you. Just sit there. Oh God, the way God will speak to you. At the end of the day, you'll go and greet the young pastor. God bless you, sir. The things you said today, he doesn't know it. I don't know how I get my point. All the things you are saying, he said, he didn't say anyone. You heard them. If you dare to share with him the things you learned from him, he will fall under the power. Because he didn't know them. He was just there talking and talking. But because you came with the right spirit, the Holy Spirit wrote upon those words and spoke to you directly. You thought that guy was speaking. That is why, listen, I believe in listening to audio messages and all of that. Please occasionally go somewhere, sit down. Let me close. But let me tell you something. These things are spiritual. When Jonathan mounted this place and began to preach, I started quoting that scripture. I laughed. I said, this is exactly the scripture I woke up during the night to look for. This has happened to me not once, not twice. Many times I enter a service. I sit down. There's only a thought drops in my mind. I bring up my note, I scribble it down. Put on the two scriptures together. I'm not the one preaching. No. I just enter the church. And the preacher is called up. Let us open to where I just wrote down. I want to share some with you today what I just wrote down. Then dawned on me. It was not him or me. That was what the Spirit wanted to say that day. And as soon as I entered that place and the anointing for that ministration came in, I picked it and did not know. But because I'm a preacher, I scribbled it down thinking that this is a good message. Not knowing that, no. God said, that is what I'm preaching to you today. And when that man mounted the pulpit, he drank of that spirit and began to share. And my jaw is open like, but this was what I was just thinking of. 3 minutes before he came up. People of God, that's how the wisdom of God enters into your life. This wisdom, let me end it with this, will protect you. Amen. The traps of life, it will deliver you from them. Amen. This wisdom will not allow you go to where you are not supposed to go to. Amen. It will tell you when to go out and when to come in. Amen. You will make decisions concerning things you were not thinking consciously about and you'll be correct. Amen. They will bring you a bad investment. You just refuse and you don't even know why. And they'll bring you a good investment. You will know it is good and you won't even know why. This wisdom will go out and open doors for you. Amen. This wisdom we are talking about is not intellectual wisdom. It's power. That the one is opening the door is forcing it open. It's not a normal door. It's forcing the door open for you. Amen. And it will happen to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, it's not a one-off thing. It's going to be your whole life. Amen. You will succeed by the Spirit. You will hire staff by the Spirit. Amen. You will even sack staff by the Spirit. Amen. You will marry by the Spirit. Amen. Let me pray for those of you who are single. You will not marry a Jezebel. Amen. The literal woman whose hands are chains, you will not marry her in Jesus' name. Amen. There are men who are chains also. You single ladies, you won't marry anyone. Amen. Let me pray one prayer for you. Your personal desire will not even lead you astray. The wisdom of God is overriding. It overrides your foolishness. Amen. It will override your foolishness. Amen. I said it will override your foolishness. Amen. Let me add this one to it. And this is what makes God God. It takes errors and makes them a blessing. Amen. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That which you did that was wrong. Everybody can say it is wrong. But the wisdom of God will make it a blessing.
Amen.
I said the wisdom of God will make it a blessing.
Amen.
Many people may not understand this, but for those it applies, God will help you understand to receive it by faith. Even what was a sin will become a blessing.
Amen.
Yes, that's what they call forgiveness. God will take a place where you made a terrible error. He will bring life out of it when he has forgiven you.
Amen.
You will almost be thinking it was good you did that. No, it was not good. God just made it work for good. That's why we have to be careful. Don't teach our own experiences. Because sometimes the experience we are teaching that brought us where we are, they were wrong. You did what was wrong. It's just that God made good come out of it. Why? Because that's what makes him God. He makes all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for putting the love for you in my heart. Say thank you.
Thank you for this word that you hear. It's liberation all the time. Sets you on your feet, puts you on the right path. Thank him for the word that you hear. It's a privilege for you to hear this word that sets you on the paths of righteousness, that keeps you on the paths of righteousness. Thank you for the wisdom for living that you receive, that makes you do right, that makes you eschew evil, that causes you to walk in the manner that is pleasing to the Father all the time, that helps you to bear good works, to produce good works, to bear fruits of righteousness. Say, Lord, thank you for counting me worthy. Say, thank you, Lord, for enabling me to do. I'm not just a hearer, I'm also a doer. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.